That's right, Colfax. Friday the 13th. Anything can happen.
Are you a big Friday the 13th guy?
I'm not a big scary movie guy at all.
I want to be. I want to be. I like the idea of it. But when I sit down to watch a scary movie, I'm just, they're depressing. The older I get, it's tough. It's tough for me. I tried to watch It, the new version.
Yeah, I watched that.
What did you think of that?
It was not scary at all.
It was goofy at the end, but I'm one of those guys now that I have a child, it really bothers me.
Yeah.
Like with the little boy, and it's like devastating. So watching scary movies is not, and especially if there's kids involved, it just, I can't do it.
Count you out.
Yeah, but I like the goofy stuff, like the old stuff in the 80s, like the Chucky movies, Freddy Krueger, all that. I get into that. That's cool. Because it's not scary.
Right.
Like, none of that stuff. It used to scare the hell out of me, but now it's not scary at all.
Well, yeah, the idea of a little doll running around murdering you.
I mean, he doesn't have any powers. His spirit just goes into a doll. So it's like, you would have been tougher if you would have stayed a human. But he's just this little doll. It's like, once you find out that he's a little doll and he's alive and trying to kill you, I mean, you could probably be like, hey, let's like just grab this guy and just chop him up and then be done with it. Or just lock him up so he can't shift his souls and stuff. So that's how we're starting the show today. It's Friday the 13th.
Might as well.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Last night was pretty cool. I'll admit, the Field of Dreams thing, the game, I wasn't excited about it. Didn't really care. I thought, it's gimmicky. I can't help it, Colfax. I mean, I'm watching, and I did get chills, especially when Kevin Costner, who's the greatest actor in the history of film, when he walks out from the cornfield onto the field, it was magical. And he's like acting it out, and he's doing what he did in the movie. You know, if you were to describe that to me and tell me that that's what he was going to do, I would have said that's a little corny, right? But watching it was actually pretty cool. I recorded it and watched it again, just the intro. It was fantastic. But here's the clip of Kevin Costner kind of doing the, of course, doing the speech. I absolutely loved it.
There's something about this land, an endless cloth that blankets the horizon. This is Iowa, a place where hope and perseverance breed a crop of limitless potential. And just like the corn in the field, the game we have loved has grown anew. It's revived our memories of a beautiful story. Over 30 years ago, I was in the tale about a farmer named Ray and a legend named Shoeless Joe.
Is this heaven?
It's Iowa. Tonight, it's their names we'll remember. On this glorious field, the White Sox and the Yankees harvest dreams into a reality.
People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
And remind us of moments in time that capture our hearts forever.
You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
They built it. And they certainly did come. This is our Field of Dreams.
Good, man. I mean, come on, Colfax. I know you're not a big, you're not into the sports movies, but even that speech did do a little for you?
No.
No?
Sorry.
Oh, you have no. And I always thought I was a snob when it came to that stuff, but you were like, you're anti.
I'm an ultimate curmudgeon.
You're a curmudgeon. You don't like the. And I don't like Rudy. Everybody knows that. They give me a hard time for that. But you're like even one step beyond that, where like those magical moments don't really do it for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it clearly was not a true story. So it's like, what's the connection? It's about
a field of dreams.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
It's not like a movie about real life. It's a movie about whatever it was about, you know?
Yeah, but you like some fiction. You get into fiction.
I mean, I like Game of Thrones, but this
is too much.
I'm not going to like it, make a serious thing about Game of Thrones and pretend like it's somber and going to make me feel something.
Oh, like,
it
would
make it was me just
feel
entertaining.
Something.
It's just entertaining.
I'll admit, like, Field of Dreams, I didn't grow up. Like, I didn't love that movie. That wasn't like, oh, it's one of my. Because I didn't. That just wasn't for me, I suppose. Yeah. But there are certain movies that would do that for me. Now, like I said, when I first heard that they were going to do this, it's like, you know, I heard that it was like 3 years in the making. So, I mean, it was a lot of work, and it was cool looking. But you have to be, you got to be a diehard field. And I was hearing Clark and the coach, Coach Bruce Dick. I mean, they loved it. And I loved it, too. I just didn't go in with those expectations. I'm sitting there watching it, and I see Kevin Costner come out of the corn. And that hit me. Like, it did hit me. And then you see the players coming out. Like, they're walking through the corn just like they did in Field of Dreams. It was cool. And then, of course, the way it ended. Tim Anderson with the walk-off home run.
Anderson hits it in the right. Back at the wall, and the White Sox win it.
I mean, it was kind of a little bit of a blowout for a moment, but the White Sox found a way to hold on. And then, of course, the walk-off. So it did live up to the hype. A lot of times those games don't, like the Super Bowl, rarely lives up to the hype. Championship games rarely live up to it. Though these kind of things rarely do that. This one did. It found a way to do it. It was great. But it did get me thinking. Kevin Costner, again, we could just do an entire two-hour show about Kevin Costner. And I would just be plumb happy about that. I can't name a movie that he's bad in. Even if I don't like the movie, I'm going to like Kevin Costner. He's like Robert Downey Jr. to me. They could be in anything, and they'll make it better. Could be the worst script in the world. So I have the poll question up, the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Best Kevin Costner baseball movie. Now, to my knowledge, there's three. Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, For Love of the Game. So that got me thinking last night. I mean, is Field of Dreams... I mean, it's an iconic movie. There's no question. Great cast. But people love Bull Durham. I feel like For Love of the Game is underrated, and rightfully so. Here we go. Look at the poll. Field of Dreams is getting 45% of the votes. Bull Durham is getting 36% of the votes. And then for The Love of the Game... For Love of the Game is getting 18%. I'm going to say this, and this is probably a controversial take. Dixon, here it is. I'm going to get your blood boiling. For Love of the Game is the best baseball movie that Kevin Costner has been in. You just said it, Colfax. You want a movie based on more reality. That's For Love of the Game. No question about it. He's about to retire. His career is over. He's playing in a game, and during this game, he's like having the no-hitter going on, and he's thinking of all of these things that have gone through his career. A player comes out to hit, and he suddenly remembers being best friends with him when they were on the same team, and then they go through that. And then, of course, who can forget Kelly Preston? God rest her soul. Kelly Preston was phenomenal, and, I mean, yeah. Heartthrob for sure, but she was in that. That was that love. It was a love story. So you're, I don't know, Colfax. You're not a big love story guy, but
I've never said that. I said it's because what movie was that? Was that Tombstone?
Oh yeah, another great movie.
It is a great movie, but the love story is corny and it doesn't make sense with the whole entire.
And I actually agreed with you on that.
But that doesn't mean I don't like love stories.
You just hate love. You know me, I'm going to take half of the thing that you say and I'm going to blow it up. And that's the biggest. Oh, Colfax hates love stories. The Notebook. Do you hate The Notebook?
I don't think I watched
it. Oh, my gosh. You hate love.
I must. No.
So go ahead and vote on that. Okay. I know you haven't. You haven't seen any of these. You won't hate them maybe, but you're not really a sports movie guy.
No. If it's on, I might watch it. I'm not going to go out of my way.
I'm a diehard sports guy.
Of course.
But I'm not really into sports movies that much either because they're typically corny. Yeah. Now, will I sit and watch them? I mean, I'm a sucker for the Mark Wahlberg movie that he's the Philadelphia Eagle. He's Papali. you know, and he tries out for the team. I like that because it was based on a true story. That actually happened fairly close to how it was depicted in the movie. You know, he tried out for the team. Philly needed a boost. And they did in the 70s. They said, you know what? We're so bad. We're going to do something fun. And we're going to do a tryout. We're going to hold tryouts. And then Papali makes the team. And he plays for like two seasons. And it's kind of a cool dream. So that's that one I like. I like funny sports movies. The Replacements is great. Any Given Sunday, that's a good one.
I just watched Major League for the first time.
And
I was unimpressed.
No, oh!
It wasn't that funny.
I can watch Major League any day.
I thought it was going to be like laugh out loud funny. It wasn't as funny as I thought it would be.
It was.
It's kind of like a comedy drama.
Yeah, it's not goofy.
Dramedy,
yeah. It's not like Airplane or anything like that.
No. And I thought it would be.
Some people think it's going to be like that.
I did think that.
Charlie Sheen, you know, he did a lot of those kind of movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not. I love Major League. If that's on, I'll watch it. If For Love of the Game is on, I'll watch it. Bull Durham, it's okay. Field of Dreams, it's okay. I am going to go back and watch it, though, because I kind of forgot a bunch of stuff that happened, and I asked my wife last night. She said, nope, you're on your own on that. She's like, no way.
Good for her.
But that's a good one. Let's go. Eastside Chris thought it might be like T-ball, but it was awesome. Think the two teams in the World Series of previous year should play in the Field of Dreams. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's cool. I think it was great. I think they should do it every year. Eastside Chris, was Costner in Bad News Bears? Was he? I don't know about that. I need to look up. Oh, there's where we're going to do our lookup music. Let me look it up. Bad News Bears. Bad News Bears. Which one? No, that was Walter Matthau, wasn't it? And then the new one was Billy Bob Thornton. The newer one. Yeah. So there you go. We got that little search music there for you. That's perfect. First Advantage text line. 970-478-1301. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We could talk about Kevin Costner all day. We're going to get Zach Stevens on, though, because Colfax, there just happens to be a little quarterback battle taking place in Denver, and we're going to get very close to figuring out who that's going to be after tomorrow. Is this Drew Locke's final shot? Is tomorrow his final shot? If he comes out and throws two picks and he's unimpressive, is he done? Let's talk to Zach Stevens about it next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
Always on. Destiny.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. Zach, man, we've got a lot to get to. It's finally almost here, I guess. We'll get to the preseason game one tomorrow. But talk to us about what George Payton told Peter King, talking about saying quarterbacks are available more than franchise corners every year. Let's lay that out. Let's discuss. Let's unpack what he said.
Well, Brady, it was bizarre. And, you know, I've understood what George Payton has done, and I've really liked a lot of the moves he's made. But this one was the first really head-scratching one. And it doesn't mean I agree with everything he's done. I would have taken Mac Jones or Justin Fields over Patrick Surtain with where the Broncos were. But this comment is something that is hard to see where he's coming from. Now, yesterday he tried to clarify it by saying that the quarterback position is the most important position in sports. He highly values it. But now what he said was quarterbacks are more available than franchise cornerbacks. And maybe that's true, but that doesn't mean that's right. Because, Brady, we've seen the Broncos be able to find quarterbacks. They've had Joe Flacco. They've had Case Keenum. They've had Trevor Siemian. You can find quarterbacks any year, but just the way it sounds is like he's valuing franchise corners more. And we've seen what that looks like, Brady. We've seen the good defense, having great players on defense, and not the quarterback. We've seen that the past 5 years, and it gets you 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, 5-11. It gets you picks in the top 10. That's not what the Broncos need. The Broncos have lived that, and I think that comment really set a lot of Broncos fans off and really scared a lot of people, because we've seen what that looks like, Brady, when you value other positions more than the quarterback position. And now yesterday, like I said, George kind of said that that's not how he views it, but his actions, you know, kind of back that up this year.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I guess the saving grace for him is that Patrick Surtain, you know, following you along on your Twitter account and everything, I mean, he's tearing it up in camp, and obviously, what will that be? Is he going to be a franchise corner? I mean, don't you think, Zach, that, like, if Justin Fields turns out to be pretty good, even if Surtain's pretty good, people are still going to look back at that and go, wow, we missed on Fields. Surtain has to be like Champ Bailey-esque. He's going to have to come up with some game-changing moments in some absolutely huge games, like playoff games, for fans to feel okay, especially if Justin Fields turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to Justin Fields, because it doesn't matter what Pat Surtain does if Justin Fields pans out, just because of the value of the quarterback position more than the cornerback position. So if Justin Fields pans out, then there's nothing that Pat Surtain could do, and that's not his fault, because I think he can be an all-pro cornerback. You know, watching Champ Bailey and then watching what Surtain's done, there's no reason why he can't be, you know, maybe not as good. I don't want to put those crazy expectations on him, but there's no reason that he can't be an all-pro. What I've seen from him is the player is going to be fantastic. However, the pick, if Justin Fields works out, and reports coming out of Chicago are that, man, he had a slow start to camp, but he is really turning it on. It's going to be something that George Payton is connected with forever if Justin Fields pans out.
Yeah, no question about it. Just like Josh Allen with Bradley Chubb, we'll continue with that. Yeah. Now we're adding them up. We're stacking up these unfortunate comparisons. Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. I got a lot to get to. I want to talk about the injuries, but how did everything look with joint practices between the Broncos and the Vikings? Let's start with the most important position at that quarterback spot. Who would you say kind of overall won in their joint practices against the Vikings?
Yeah, Brady, we talked about coming into this week how the Broncos, with the scrimmage that they had on Sunday, then these two joint practices, and then the preseason game coming up tomorrow, just how this is a great opportunity for one of these quarterbacks to really pull ahead and start creating some separation, which we haven't seen yet. And up to this point, Brady, we don't have any separation. I mean, I got to say, this is honestly a worst-case scenario, because Vic Fangio himself said he ideally wants to see one of these guys take the job and run away with it, and we have not seen that. And these joint practices were a great example of that. Teddy Bridgewater comes out the first day and wins the first joint practice. He looks good. Drew Lock struggles. And it's not like Teddy was lighting the world on fire, but he just looked better than Drew Lock, especially with Drew Lock struggles than yesterday in the joint practice with the Vikings. Drew Lock comes out and doesn't have any mistakes, which is so key. And Teddy Bridgewater comes out and has multiple mistakes in the red zone. So again, Teddy kind of loses the day yesterday, because Drew was okay. He was not phenomenal or anything. So Teddy more so loses yesterday. Drew Lock so more so loses Wednesday. And now we're sitting here and hoping that some big separation happens in tomorrow's game. But we know pretty much that no matter what happens tomorrow, the Broncos aren't going to make a decision until after at least the second preseason game, because Vic Fangio has announced that Drew Lock is starting tomorrow, and that Teddy Bridgewater is starting the second preseason game. And if you read between the lines, it tells me that they are not close to making a decision. And Brady, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think we're going to get clarity in 10 days from now. I think it's going to be more like 17 days from now after that third game.
So when you look at tomorrow, and again, preseason is so interesting, Zach. It's hard to assess. Even if Drew Lock lights the world on fire, what are we going to say? We're still going to say, well, it's preseason. They weren't giving him all their looks, whatever. But if he struggles in any way, we're going to blow that up. Is it fair to think that maybe tomorrow, if he's awful, could be Drew Lock's last shot?
Man, just because of Vic already saying that Teddy's going to start the second game, I don't think so. I think they're going to take this at least one more preseason game. But the way this sets up, Brady, it doesn't set up good for Drew. And here's why. Drew is going to go against a solid Minnesota defense tomorrow against their ones. Then Teddy Bridgewater is going to come in playing against twos and likely even threes, because I think by the time Teddy Bridgewater is still in the game in the third quarter, which I expect him to be, that Minnesota will have their third string defense. And so it's going to be a lot tougher for Drew to have success tomorrow than it is for Teddy. And then you flip it to next week when Teddy's out there and he starts, he will be going against the Seahawks first team defense, but the Seahawks defense is terrible. So he's going to have a better chance of doing better against the first team defense in his start than Drew is. And then he's also going to have a shot to really carry momentum going against the twos and threes tomorrow. He's going to have a good chance to carry that into momentum going against Seattle's bad defense. And so I just, the way this sets up and being unbiased is, I just think this sets up really well for Teddy.
So what are we looking like in terms of snaps? I mean, is Drew going to get the entire first quarter, the entire first half? What do you think?
I really think we're going to see about a quarter and a half-ish from each of these guys. Now, if Drew goes down in the first quarter and leads a 12-play drive, maybe we'll just see him get, you know, a shorter series at the end of the first quarter and then not see him get much in the second. But I really wouldn't be surprised, Brady, if we're talking a quarter and a half to almost a full half for each of these guys. And that's the way it should be. We don't need to see Brett Rypien. Brett Rypien is not involved in this competition. If he doesn't get any snaps tomorrow, that is perfectly okay with me. I do think we'll see Brett Rypien sometime in the fourth quarter.
Wow. Well, this is going to be, I mean, I'm going to be glued to the television in that first half, and then of course to see what Teddy does. So man, this is crazy. And here we are. We've come up against it. Drew Locke has an opportunity to survive all of it, Zach. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers. We've talked about back when, you know, before we heard all the bad stuff with Deshaun Watson. We talked about Matt Stafford and Justin Fields and the draft and all of that. Drew has an opportunity to start in survival mode and survive all of it. And I guess it, you know, the third phase of this begins tomorrow night.
And wouldn't that be crazy? And it would just show so much perseverance and show that maybe Drew can survive this season as well, because you're right, he's survived everything up until now. And it's funny because Teddy Bridgewater calls himself the survivor for making it, you know, through so many different teams right now. Maybe Drew will prove that he's the true survivor here.
So if you're Vic Fangio, deep down, I know he's not going to say this, but who's Vic Fangio rooting for in this competition?
I think he's rooting for Teddy Bridgewater, and the reason for that is Vic has such a short-sighted view on this, and that's not anything against Vic.
Sure.
That's how all coaches are in the NFL. You know, they're playing for their three-year contract, which really boils down to like 3 1-year contracts, and so I think Vic wants to see Teddy just show that he's the safe option, because I don't think there's anything that Drew can show in preseason and in this final week of training camp to show Vic, look, I've changed. I'm the safe option now. Because Vic's just going to have in the back of his mind, you led the league in interceptions last year. You really killed a couple of the games for us. And I think Vic's not going to be able to get over that. However, with Teddy, there are times in throughout Teddy's career where he's gone and has not had a big streak of interceptions. Now, last year wasn't the best example of that, but Teddy has a bigger background to show that he can be safer with the ball. And that's what Vic wants. Vic wants to win by running the ball and playing good defense and not having the quarterback ruin the game for him. And so that's why I think he just wants Teddy to show what he didn't do yesterday. And what Teddy did yesterday was had multiple interceptions in the red zone. You cannot do that. And if Teddy continues to do that or has a couple more days like that, then maybe they will say, okay, Drew actually surprises us and he is the safer option.
Yeah, man. Like we said, tomorrow's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited for preseason football, and I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic for once. All right, give us some updates on some other things that have been going on. Had a couple of scares over the week as far as injuries, Mike Boone being one of them, Dalton Reisner being one of them. Can you give us updates there?
Yeah, Mike Boone, it does not look good from people I've talked to, Brady, and that's really unfortunate, because just a couple hours before, George Payton, the guy that knows him better than anyone on the Broncos or in the Broncos organization, he said he's the fastest running back they have an explosive guy. And that's exactly what I've seen from Mike Boone throughout training camp, is both of those things. And he was very much going to be involved. Now, still waiting on some more diagnosis, but it looks like the quad injury is probably going to be a while. He is not going to play tomorrow. I would be shocked if he did. So not good news there. However, good news revolving Dalton Risner. He just tweaked his knee. If they decide to play the starting offensive line tomorrow, which I believe they will, then he is going to be the starting right guard or left guard for the Broncos, which is very good. So a big scare that people don't need to worry about. And otherwise, outside of that, health is pretty good right now. You know, you have Tim Patrick on the side, but he should be okay. Just a little tweak grunt. And the guy who everyone is keeping an eye on, KJ Hamler. Not only is he healthy, Brady, and not only has he been entirely healthy this training camp, but he is looking really good. I mean, he had a 45, 50-yard touchdown pass yesterday and just burned the defense. He is the X factor to this offense. I'm ready to put my stamp on Jerry Jeudy, already being the number one receiver for this team. I'm not too worried about Cortland Sutton, especially because he's not going to be relied on to be that number one receiver. But KJ Hamler, if he comes out and he turns into the playmaker that he can be and he stays healthy, then boy, this offense is going to be very fun to watch. Really should be regardless of what quarterback there is, because the quarterback is just going to have to get these guys the ball and not do anything spectacular.
Hey, just do what Joe Flacco did. Throw it a one-yard pass that turns into an 80-yard pass. I mean, if you can do that,
exactly,
then you're good.
Exactly. And that's the weapons that the Broncos have.
Yeah. Well, and then I'll be curious, too, to see how the year progresses, what that will ultimately mean for Cortland Sutton, who's in a contract year, too. And he's going to want to get paid like a number one guy, right?
It's going to be very interesting, because you have Tim Patrick, who's also on a contract year. And let's say Cortland's asking for $18 million and Tim wants $8 million. That's a huge difference. And yes, is Cortland Sutton the better receiver right now? Of course he is. But do you say we can get another Pro Bowl player with that $10 million of savings, and we think Tim Patrick's a really good number two receiver? That is something that we'll be talking about. Now, to throw this in there as well, George Payton loves Cortland Sutton maybe more than anyone else in the organization. And people in the organization are head over heels for Cortland, and George Payton loves him. So that's just why right now I'm not ready to say that Cortland's going to be gone. But if he's asking for true number one, top five wide receiver money, the Broncos are going to say, we think Jerry Jeudy's the number one receiver on this team, so we're not going to pay you that.
Well, you're right. That's going to be something certainly to pay attention to, along with whatever happens with the quarterbacks, for sure. Zach, before we let you go, our poll question today. Best Kevin Costner baseball movie, Field of Dreams, Boulderham, or For Love of the Game?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's got to be Field of Dreams, right? That was a movie that I grew up on, so easy for me. And, boy, that game last night lived up to everything.
It was so fun. I kind of thought, I was talking about this earlier, it's a gimmick. I don't know if I'm going to be into it. And as soon as Kevin Costner pops out of the cornfield, I'm in, man. I'm falling in love with the game again. Kevin Costner's the greatest actor in the history of the world. I mean, it did live up to the hype.
Man, and just the outfield that was the cornfield was so cool.
Yeah, I loved it, man. Zach, appreciate you, man. We'll be looking out for your Twitter account tomorrow. I know you'll be heavy into a lot of preview stuff, so we'll be following you along the next couple of days.
Yes, right on, Brady. Really appreciate you having me on.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. We'll catch up with him Monday to kind of get his closing thoughts on week one, preseason week one, that is. All right. Hey, reminder, we're going to talk to the best punter in the United States of America. I like to say it like that because it really builds it up. Ryan Stonehouse. Guy is awesome. Great to listen to. Excellent speaker. So we're going to bring him on the show. I mean, special teams for Colorado State is a big deal, and he's a big deal. He has been on the every year he's been on the Ray Guy watch list every single year since he's been with CSU. So he's an NFL guy. He's going to be in the NFL. He'll be a punter at the next level, too. So we're excited to talk to Mr. Stonehouse in the second hour. But first, Colfax, we need to jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. What is your favorite Kevin Costner baseball movie? And Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, or For Love of the Game? I say For Love of the Game. That's what I go to for me. In fact, that's definitely like a top 20 probably movie for me. Not top 10. Let's not get crazy. Definitely top 20. And if you're in the top 20, Colfax, it means I can watch anytime it's on. That's on. Well, I got to sit through this at least until the next commercial if it's like on, you know, regular TV. So that's when you know a movie is amazing. Field of Dreams winning 50%. Kind of thought so. 33% say Bull Durham. 16% say For Love of the Game. I mean, but honestly, can you go wrong? Well, I'm just looking at all these Kevin Costner movies, by the way. It just has me thinking of it. You know, I come to think of it, there's not a lot of my favorite movies that are Kevin Costner movies, but he's just good. Like Open Range, that was an okay movie. Walter Matthau was in it. It was all right, but he made it great. Mr. Brooks, that was weird, but I liked it. Molly's Game, we reviewed that in our summer of reviews when COVID shut everything down. That was fun, actually. Draft Day wasn't bad. I didn't think Draft Day was as bad as everybody thought. Like, people really tore that movie apart. I didn't think it was that bad. So, go vote. Check that one out. Shout out to Tilted Barrel. You can, hey, listen, they got the longest happy hour around. How many happy hours do you know that start at 2? 2 to 6 is their happy hour. Features half-price appetizers, $5 well wine or draft drinks. They invite you to come in and see for yourself why their happy hour is one of the best throughout the state. You have a standing invitation. I like that. That's Tilted Barrel in Loveland. We're going to be doing our, speaking of draft day, we're going to be doing our fantasy football draft there. We need 6 spots. So we got somebody registered yesterday. Now we need 6 spots. We can do that now. If you want to get in on our fantasy football challenge, I got 6 spots remaining. Free entry. Nothing crazy. Winner gets the belt. Winner gets glory and greatness. And we'd love for you to come over. Ellison Hubbard is going to be in the draft, Colfax. He is partaking in our fantasy football draft. He's going to be there at Tilted Barrel. It's going to be fantastic. We're excited for that. So you got to get involved. So I'll take caller number 3 on our First Advantage hotline. Caller number 3, all I need is an email. We do it through ESPN. Boom. It's easy. Caller number 3, 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. I agree with George Payton. I agree, actually. Saying that franchise quarterbacks are harder to find than franchise cornerbacks. I agree with him. Because every year, what do you hear, Colfax? There's 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the draft that we're talking about that we think are going to be really, really good. Every single year you do that. As far as corners, I mean, like Bradley Roby. The Broncos drafted Bradley Roby, and he was good. Where is he now? He's kind of just a regular player. But you drafted him in the first round, I think, right? I actually agree. I think players like the top corners are hard to find, man. Playing the cornerback position is difficult. So I actually do agree. I don't think he's devaluing the quarterback position by saying that. But you have quarterback options every single year. There's 4 or 5 guys that are going to be touted to go in the first round. And of those 4 or 5 guys, yeah, 2 guys work out. So you're telling me there's 2 franchise quarterbacks pretty much every single year, if you think about it. Corners, you don't hear about those guys that often. You have to be really good to stick out as a corner, like a Jalen Ramsey type, a Aqib Talib type. You got to be exceptional. So I actually I agree with George Payton. I like the philosophy. You know me, I threw Justin Fields, Patrick Surtain, and Micah Parsons in that was my board. If any of those guys are available, you can't go wrong. And I'm not going to argue, and I haven't, and I'm happy with it so far. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Don't forget, we're going to talk to Colorado State punter Ryan Stonehouse. The guy is all over the place. He was the first guy we interviewed after the first practice. So if that doesn't show you that Steve Addazio and company are taking the special teams thing seriously, then I don't know what does. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. How about Bol Bol? Summer League. He's doing good, man. He's tearing it up. What can we make of it? We'll talk about it next.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hall Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you're a fan of Summer League, like, yeah, they're not winning these games, but it doesn't matter. 90-84, they lost to Phoenix. Bol Bol, Zeke Nagy, Bones Highland. They kind of struggled for the most part in some of that game. But Bol Bol has, honestly, the three of those guys, especially Bol Bol and Bones Highland, have had some pretty big moments. And Bol Bol's doing it, man. I mean, it's kind of like preseason. If you're bad, then that's bad news. You're probably not going to last. Or if you're young, I guess you can get better. But if you're bad, then odds are we're not going to see you in the following season. But if you're really good, all right, then we just say, all right, Bol Bol's pretty good against guys that are right around his level. Guys that probably won't play a whole heck of a lot. So this is what he has to do. We said this summer league was going to be absolutely huge for Bol Bol, and he's taking advantage of it. He's had his struggles, though. Certainly had his struggles. But the fact is, he is getting more confidence. He is playing better than we've seen. And Bones Highland has been pretty good. I mean, both of those guys get some time. But he's finding a way. Against the Celtics, 26 points, 9 boards. Highland went with 16 and then a 5 of 11 shooting in 25 minutes. That's pretty damn good. But they haven't really practiced a whole heck of a lot. They had the health and safety protocols issues and everything. Highland and Zeke, they missed their first summer league game, but they were cleared to play over the weekend. But it's been good watching him. You know, I mean, we said it. He's going to be in the pressure cooker, Bol Bol. I mean, if he can't earn some playing time this season and be actually utilized in this roster, then yeah, he's going to be gone. And that's crazy because I feel like there's something there. He's over 7 feet tall and he can dribble. You know, not a lot of 7-footers can dribble at the top of the key and take it down like that. So I think he's a rare talent. Can he put it all together, though? He's so raw, and that's where Michael Malone really struggles to put him in. So far, so good for him. It's not that. I mean, it's August 13th, Colbs. We're not that far away from preseason basketball in September, late September, right? So we're getting close to the season, believe it or not. I did see a cool video. Jamal Murray jumps up, grabs the rim, falls, and just gently drops. But he was fine. Like, that's a great step. What does that mean? Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets posted on his Twitter account that the Nuggets are still expecting him around March or February. So, I mean, that's going to be a lot of time out, man. You're going to have a ton of games before you get to that. I mean, you're going to have 70, 80% of the season done by the time we get to seeing Jamal Murray. So that's what they're playing right now. Is that would, you know, February or March. Man, March would be tough. I think playoffs start late March, don't they? 12:57 the time. We're going to talk to Ryan Stonehouse, Colorado State punter. Love this guy. Enjoyed chatting with him a bit last week at practice, so we're excited to get him on the show so listeners can enjoy. All right, Ryan Stonehouse coming up next. We'll take a short break. It's The Hall Show powered by PDC Energy.